All right, so I am online with some saints. I want to bring a teaching today, and I'm calling it, Your Response to Correction Says a Lot. Your Response to Correction Says a Lot. This teaching has to cover a common situation in the true body of Christ, not churchianity. Churchianity hardly ever corrects much of anything, but in the true body of Christ, we're always striving for truth and holiness and doctrine and right behavior and conduct. So there's always correction going on, especially if you have newer believers coming in. Yeah, even older believers need correction. So correction, discipling, rebuking, they're all taught all over the scriptures in the New Testament body. But again, sadly, churchianity doesn't do it hardly. It's one of the evidences they're not born of God at all, because they're not trying to keep a pure, holy, spotless bride body. They're just pretty much living pretty much like we're a bunch of sinners, and they don't do much correction. But Paul says in Galatians 5:9, a little leaven leaven the whole lump. So if we have a body and we let sin remain there knowingly, that's going to affect the whole body in time. So we're told in the scriptures to judge sin. 1 Corinthians 5, Paul puts a man out for sexual sin. We're told to expose sin in the body of Christ. 1 Timothy 5:20. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others may also fear. So we're told all over the scriptures to deal and judge with the body of Christ. Go read Matthew 18. Jesus tells you, if a brother's in sin, go to him alone. Go with some other brothers. Go to the whole body, then put him out if he won't repent. It's very clear. I have a whole bunch of articles on body discipline at the teaching blog at don'tperish.com. But for this teaching, the question really comes down to, what is your response to correction? And does that, I guess I'd add another question, does that tell a lot about your heart for the Lord? The greatest man that ever lived, John the Baptist, per Jesus, said in John 3:30, I must decrease so Christ can increase. So it's a humble, meek man that lowers himself to lift up Christ. And I think that's what we need to have when it comes to correction, because this is about Christ, His word, His truth, not us, not our ministry, not our reputation. If we're wrong, so be it. Our reputation says we got something wrong. This is about Christ and His glory, His word. And what does the scripture say about a man that takes reproof or not? Here's what it says. Proverbs 9:8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, he will love thee. Rebuke means correct. It doesn't mean be mean, yell at, scream, call names. It means to correct. Someone's in a sin, false doctrine, going in the wrong direction, you correct them. So a wise man will love you. I think we all need to have that mindset. Being corrected and having a good response to it, I think, is all about your heart's condition. Think about that. If you're born again by the gospel, you have a new creation heart, but man can still have issues in his heart. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So man's heart's a hard thing to know. Even born again saints struggle. They still have a flesh man. But if we're born of the gospel with that new heart, which gives us the desire to be meek and humble and lowly, go read Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount, tells us all about those things. Correction, rebuking, should be a desired process in the path of your growth life. It should be something you embrace, not something you scorn and fight about. Most often, what I've seen in ministry is people get puffed up in pride. Every sin is connected to pride, literally. Proverbs 6:17 says that's an abomination to God, a proud look, being prideful. And generally, many people, I would say most people, at first correction, they become fleshly, they get defensive. Sometimes they lie and twist the truth and deny. They make excuses. They continue in the same behavior, almost unshaken by the correction. or they go quiet and kind of sulk, or are not themselves, and you don't really know what they're doing. Are they in their flesh? Are they pondering it? And so these are kind of the common reactions. And probably when I first started my walk, I probably had some of those. I don't think I ever lied, but I probably got a little fleshly sometimes. Maybe I didn't take it as serious as I should have. But I don't think that was too big of a problem, because the Word of God was really what I fed on for the first year of my Christian life, totally. Not that I don't do that today. And so I thrived on correction. And I can honestly tell you today, after doing this truth walk for many years, when someone comes to me, and I get people on the internet all the time saying, "You're wrong, you're a false teacher, you need correction, you need a rebuke," I literally, God knows in my heart, I don't take offense to it. Now, the only offense comes when they're lying, and I show them the truth, and they still lie. Yeah, then that's offensive. I still don't take offense to it, because Jesus said, "Rejoice when they lie about you, for my name's sake." I personally take it as a challenge when someone says, "You're wrong," and I go, "What topic and where? Show me." And then we run to the scriptures, and we test it with brothers, test it with my wife. We sit and we talk about it. We sharpen our swords. And I want to find out, am I sound in doctrine? Or do I need to practice humbleness that everybody should have and admit, uh-oh, I missed this one. I better repent and get this correct for God's glory. And I think those who know me would say that publicly, when needed, I will admit if I had something wrong, and I'll correct it on my website, and I'll say it, and I'll admit it, and I'll get it right, and I'll keep going. I would be a hypocrite to be calling out and exposing false teachers if I didn't also correct myself when needed. So that is needed. I look forward to correction. I love to sharpen my sword. And so men of God are blessed to be corrected when they're wrong. It's a blessing. And taking it the right way when a correction comes your way, whether you take it right or you take it wrong, says a lot about you, where you are in your faith life. Maybe you're new, a novice. Maybe you're further along and you're still prideful. Maybe you're stubborn. Maybe you're stiff-necked. All those things could be possible. Let me give you, in Scripture, two examples, an Old Testament and a New Testament, of men who took rebuke correctly. Let me read a big chunk of Scripture to you here. 2 Samuel 12, 1 through 14. This is about David and Nathan. Let me read this to you. "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came to him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he bought and nourished up and grew it up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock, of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him. But he took the poor man's lamb, and he dressed it for the man that was come unto him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and said to Nathan, As the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said, David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and gave thee thine house of Israel and of Judah. And if thou had been too little, I would have moreover given you unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thine, hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan," catch this, "I've sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, And the Lord hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because thou deed this by this deed, thou hast given a great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. So that big part of Scripture gives us the account of David and a rebuke. And what happened? David took it instantly. Didn't make excuses. Didn't get in his flesh. Didn't go quiet. David took it like a true man of God and said, I sinned against God, and he repented. That was the Old Testament. Let me give you one in the New Testament of a man, much lesser of a man than David. David was the king of Israel. Let's look at this next man, Simon the sorcerer, in Acts 8, verses 17 through 24. And they laid their hands upon them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw, through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Simon's a born-again believer, baptized. It tells us that earlier in the chapter. And when given, he offered them money, saying, Give me also this power, that on whomsoever lay my hands out, they shall receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee. Perish, that would mean burn in hell. Because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness, and pray to God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Catch Simon's response here. Then Simon answered and said, Pray ye to the Lord for me that none of those things which ye have spoken come upon me. He didn't make excuses. He didn't say, why, what do you mean? Simon received the rebuke and said, Pray that doesn't come upon me. David in humbleness did the same thing, repented. And so we got to see these examples of men of God, or a great man of God like David, or just a regular newer believer, Simon, took a rebuke the way it should be. Now, how about two examples, one in the old, one in the new, of men that did not take what they did well? How about Genesis 3, 9 through 12? Let's talk about Adam. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I'm naked and hid myself. And he said, Who told thee thou was naked? Thou hast eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat. And the man, Adam, said, The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave to me of the tree, and I did eat. Adam made excuses before God. That's what he did. He made excuses, and he kind of blamed it on Eve. Even though Eve was wrong, he was also wrong. And then how about in the New Testament? Let's look at Herod. Matthew 14, 1 through 5. And at that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, This is John the Baptist? Is he risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him? For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John had said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. So Herod, when John said he couldn't have his brother's wife, it wasn't about remarriage, it was about Torah law, incest, not having your brother's wife after she had children with him. Herod throws John in prison, later cuts his head off and kills him. Yeah. So those are examples of good reactions to a rebuke and correction, and bad reactions. And do they not show the heart of a man? Jesus said this, Luke 6:45, A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So these things came out of these people's heart. So when you walk up to a brother to correct him, if excuses and lies and flesh and things fly out of him, that's coming from his heart. It's not a lip problem, not a brain problem. It's a heart problem. But if he says, well, what are you talking about? Let's look into this. If I'm wrong, surely I'll be corrected. I think you're incorrect, but let's go to the scriptures. Let's find out about this. So that shows what's in a man's heart. Humble meekness to be corrected. Anyone can be wrong at any time. If you don't believe that about yourself, you're prideful, set for the fall. And I think many men operate thinking, oh, I'm too far along. I can't be wrong. That's a dangerous, dangerous road to go by. So when rebuke and correction comes your way, my way, do you or I embrace it in wisdom and in love for correction, as that proverb said, or do we foolishly reject it, downplay it, make excuses, get in the flesh, get hurt feelings, get bitterness, strife, and envy? Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians 3. Corinthians Christians were carnal. They were into strife and envy. So I hope this teaching has you ponder, what's a good indicator of your maturity, your heart, your meekness, your humbleness before God? What is your response to a correction, especially from a trusted brother or another believer, a brother, man to man, or sister, woman to woman? I get it. Strangers can come up to you, don't know, and you go, I got to test this out. But from a trusted brother, what is your initial response? I think that shows a lot about who we are, don't you think? True saints, born of the gospel, check that out at don'tperish.com, will hate all false ways. Psalm 119:104 says, the psalmist, and also we know God, hates false ways. That would mean even our own false ways. And we would love the truth as fruit that were born of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:9 says, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Many people quote Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Those are awesome. But Ephesians 5:9, goodness, truth, righteousness. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Truth. If you can't be corrected, how can you have meek and humbleness? How can you know you're in the truth if you won't be tested? The Bible says, test all things. 1 Thess 5. So I hope this teaching encouraged you about what is your response to rebuke and correction. Do you humbly take it to heart? Or do you take it to your flesh? Do you take it to all types of ways that are not of God? Look in the Bible when you read it and see examples of good, taking good rebuke, and also those who did not take it well. It never ends out good, ends up good if you don't take it well. To God's glory, let us all walk and take correction, rebuke, instruction for His glory. All right, thanks for listening. Till next time, check out don'tperish.com, all the rest of our articles. This will be in the Ecclesia Gathering area to edify people, also on the teaching blog. Thanks for listening. May God be praised.